You're listening to Like a Real Boss podcast, where we go beyond the title and unravel the complexities of being a boss. If you're a head honcho, top dog, or queen bee, this is for you. Get insight from experienced leaders and passionate workers. This is your wake-up call. Ready to get bossified? Now, your host and the real-life boss, Tiana Sanchez.
Welcome, welcome, and thank you for joining another episode of Like a Real Boss. This is your host, Tiana Sanchez, and thank you for tuning in to listen to our show today. You know, this is the place where you get tips, tricks, trends, tools, where we talk about the stuff so you could be a better boss podcast. And we took a little bit of a hiatus, but we're back to really getting to the core of what we cover on this show, which is helping passionate leaders, experienced workers really find that middle ground, that space where they can operate and work collaboratively together. And especially in our time today in our society where things are changing so quickly, it's important that we constantly pour into ourselves. So I'm not sure how you're listening, but I just want to check in. You can find us on iTunes, on Stitcher, and on Spotify, and pretty much wherever you get your podcasts. So thank you again for this opportunity. We're going to get back into our topic, which really set the ground for the show. And I started it several years ago, about 3 years ago. The idea was that I wanted to have a platform where people could actually learn some techniques, some new approaches about changing the way that they've led. Everything in our society changes, right? We change the way we communicate. We change how we find and search information. We change even our creative way of thinking. But oftentimes I find that leadership principles or leadership strategies don't change. How we lead does not always change. And so we have to make sure that we're looking at new ways and new approaches because our workforce is changing. So the guest that I have today does exactly that. Her company has been established to focus on some of these key leadership strategies and possibilities, these approaches for organizations. So I want to introduce Jill Valdez. She is the owner of Link Consulting, a company based out of Arizona. I love Arizona. I'm from Cali, but I love Arizona. And her company really helps other organizations improve people management and team performance. So what company doesn't need that? And I always love the history of how people got started. And I know Jill has been doing work in the nonprofit sector for almost 20 years, and she started to grow, kind of creating systems and processes necessary to grow organizations. And then 8 years after that, the company was operating 2 sites, had a 30% increase, and life was great. Then, of course, things happened, and there was a corporate restructuring, and it caused Jill to quickly really take her skills for creating systems and developing efficient processes to fill a void out in our world, out in helping organizations. And so those tools have really helped Jill grow her company. And really using her experience, she has a degree in organizational psychology, and she's been able to really help some companies see some great results. And so Jill, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Tiana. Thanks so much for having me on. I'm super excited to be talking to your audience today.
So you're in Arizona. How's the weather out there right now?
Oh my gosh. So I'm in Northern Arizona. Right now, it is 32 degrees outside. I am
wow,
so cold.
So I didn't know that Arizona could actually get that cold. My son, who is now 21, went to school there for a year. And I'm like, Northern Arizona. I just think anything with the word Arizona in it is going to be hot and desert. Yep. And we went down for his college tour and visit. And I'm like, wait, what is this? There's mountains. It's cold. And then yeah. He, you know, it was snow. It didn't snow when we were there. But I was like, oh my gosh. So 32 yes. degrees. So are you working from home today since it's so cold outside?
Well, I actually have another job that I am an executive director of a nonprofit organization. And so Wednesday mornings, I'm committed into that space. And so I'm working in that office today.
You wear many hats.
Working at home. Oh, yes, absolutely.
So Jill, we chatted a little bit, and for the month of October, we celebrate women who have been in small business. It's a national small business celebration for women and, you know, encouraging women to buy other things that are women owned. And that's anybody. And I think it's important to highlight not just business owners, small business owners, but women that have actually started their business from the ground up. And you started Link Consulting in 2018, but obviously, mm-hmm. you had, as I mentioned, over 2 decades of experience. But what was the reason? What propelled you to start your company at this time, at this moment?
That's a great question. I love helping people, whether that's helping individuals or helping companies. And I was the director of human resources for a company. I was in the middle of my master's program, and my boss came to me and he said, "Jill, you have to start your own agency." He said, "You need to be out there helping more companies with what you do and what you bring." And he says, "I'm being selfish and keeping you for myself. So you need to go start your own agency. I'm going to be your first client, but get out there and do it."
How long had you been there when he said that already?
I've been with them for 6 months.
So you were 6 months in when your boss said, "You need to start your own agency."
Yep.
So he was your first client. The company was your first client. Tell me about that.
Yes. And they still are. It's been super exciting. A lot of this stuff I was already doing for them. And he's been kind of like my guinea pig on how to translate what I know across industries and for different sizes of organizations. So I get to still work with people that I love. And it's been so exciting to just watch their company grow, to watch the people grow. We've walked through processes of figuring out really the identity of the company and what the company was going to be known for and what exactly they wanted to be doing. And it's really exciting to see that. And then to watch this staff that 2 years ago was, for some of them, they were fledgling, and then we've added new staff, and to just watch them embrace the vision, come into their purpose, being able to be in a place where they are living out their passion and giving great service for their customers and getting wonderful results is just fantastic to be a part of.
So take me back, because that was last year, and I want to pick back up into really kind of what you do, because I think all of your experience, again, you've honed a lot of things in this arena of leadership and leadership strategies and processes over years of experience. So when you worked for other organizations in the nonprofit sector, you had some, it looks like some good success. What were some of those key, if you could, you know, kind of pick a couple, two or three of those kind of key things that you really strengthened that were your skill set that you've now taken now 20 years later, roughly, to your new business? What did you learn several years ago?
Sure. The biggest thing that I've learned that I've been able to apply and do well, to just put it out there, is putting together processes that make the organization efficient and maximum effectiveness. And then also how to then bring people alongside that vision and those goals and to pour into them, to invest in them, to give them the opportunity to be a part of this thing. Like in the nonprofit sector, everything that I did was with volunteers. So I couldn't be like, "Hey, you have to be here and do what I tell you to because you're getting a paycheck." They could be like, "We're not showing up anymore."
Right.
And so learning how to motivate people, how to get them excited about the vision that a company has, how to get them plugged into the right places so that they're doing the right things, looking at how to make the experience so positive that they can't wait to come back and be a part of what's happening. So I take that, and really, that's what we have to do with companies today. There's so many bosses that for a long time, the motivation was the paycheck, but that's shifted. You talked about how leadership has shifted. That's shifted today. Today's worker, they're not motivated by that paycheck. They're motivated by other things. And so when we can take who they are and then create this atmosphere where they're excited to come and be a part, then that's success.
And you said a couple of things that I want to highlight. As I'm listening, I kind of ways to make it easy for people that are listening to remember. So I come up with these E's. So they start with E's. But you talked about processes, but to help for improved efficiency. So often when I teach classes and organizations, I always try to make the case that when we don't communicate effectively, or we don't manage our time efficiently, all of that can cost, right? And so I put a dollar amount. And so these processes, that you talk about are improved efficiency. Then it's also helping employees to be excited. So, and that ties into the employee experience. So as I'm looking again, thinking of these E words, efficiency, creating excitement among the staff so that they feel a part of it. You're bringing them alongside. And I really want you to talk about that because I think companies struggle to have individuals, employees that champion, Jill, the changes that the organization may experience. And to that point, the experience that the employee has. And there are different things. Everyone is motivated by different things. What motivated somebody 50 years ago because they needed a paycheck and that was great, and incentive and promotion may not be the thing that really inspires people today. So how do you help companies bring their people alongside the goals and help to get them excited when there's a change in their organization?
Yeah, Tiana, that's a great question. Thank you. How I do that is, first of all, companies have to talk about what they're about. They need to celebrate and champion what they're doing as an organization. How is it that they're making their customers' world a better place? Even if it's the most mundane thing, even like at a restaurant, celebrating how you're making somebody's life better by being in existence as a company. When you talk about that, when you tell the stories, when you're helping employees see that there is a purpose, that there is a reason, that there is something to celebrate about everything that you do, that really helps create that excitement. The struggle sometimes for managers and for small business owners is the fear that whoever they bring on staff is not going to do things as well as they do. And I get it. I'm totally that way. I'm like, nobody can do it as good as me, so I might as well just do everything. And it's taken me years to get out of that kind of mentality. John Maxwell says that if somebody can do it at 80% as good as you or better, then you've got to let them do it. So recognizing that the people that we have that are coming into organizations, they need to be released to be doing things and then entrusted that they're going to have this ownership mentality. And again, this is what managers and business owners, this is what I teach them, is how to instill in their team an ownership kind of mentality.
Not I love that,
Not that they're going to take over the business or anything, but they're going to come in and be like, what I'm doing is super important. I need to think about this more than just that I'm coming in and punching in a time clock. What I do is important. When you give them that ownership mentality, that changes their motivation, that changes their excitement, that changes their commitment to the work that they're doing.
What would be an example of someone, either a client that you've worked with, maybe a case study, where you've actually seen that occur, where someone has been, I love the word that you said, released. You've been released. You've been released to do something. You've been entrusted. And that's also a big one because I'm a parent and I think of, you know, even in the home and, you know, my husband's doing something. I'm like, ooh, boy, he just did. I'm doing it exactly how I would do it. You know, in that frustration is like, oh, I'll just do it myself kind of thing. Right. But that ownership mentality, have you experienced something or have your clients experienced something where you've seen that change in an employee who's gone from, let's say, lackluster to really engaged and has a sense of ownership to where their performance has changed?
Oh, yeah. I've been working with this organization. It's one of my great success stories that I love to talk about. And when I got there, the morale was so low. And the people who were on the team had pretty much been made to be robots. Like, you don't get to think, you don't get to take initiative. You just do what I say and everything's going to be okay. Some of that was from insecurity of the leader and an inability of how to release them. So we walked through identifying what is it that the company is even all about. And then, like I said, celebrating that with the staff, celebrating that with the team, championing that, reminding them that this is why they get up and this is why they're coming in and a part of the team. And over this last year, the director has been empowering and releasing the staff to take initiative, to make some decisions. And how they did it was they would come to the director and say, okay, I intend to do this. And that was kind of a good safe start. It was a good segue. The director felt like they still knew what was happening and felt like they still had a little bit of control, and not in a bad way, but that they had some control over what was happening and that they were aware. I guess probably awareness is a better word than control. But the people felt like they could come and say, this is what I really want to do. Like, if I was the sole person in charge of this, this is how I would do it. And now the people, they're excited. They come in, and what they've seen is the customers that they serve have noticed it. The customers are now saying, wow, this is so different from a year ago. We come in here, everybody's happy. They look like they're enjoying themselves. There's a peaceful kind of setting in this place. We love coming in here and being a part of this now.
Wow. And the customers, when the customers recognize it, you're getting an, you know, an outside perspective. And I think that is very telling when you go from a place of where you said at the beginning, Jill, low morale, to now people are setting intentions, they're communicating, there's a different sense of, I think, probably motivation. And here's the other thing that people probably glossed over that you said, and so I'm going to reiterate it, is that you said 1 year later. And let me tell you why 1 year later is important for people that are listening that are in a company right now and you're saying, oh, I got a problem today and I really need some help. Or people that do similarly to what you and I do. When we communicate the importance of professional development, it does not happen overnight. And When you make the decision to say, I'm going to invest, know that you are investing time as well as money. And you don't want a quick fix solution. You don't want a Band-Aid. I always say, you want to suture. You want to suture the problem that you have, and you really want to prevent any recurrence of any future problems, specifically on the people side of the business. And so 1 year later, I don't want people to gloss over that it takes time for behavior to change. It takes time for people to see those changes in their organization and actually have some metrics behind it, some performance metrics and things that you can actually measure. So I'm so glad that you said that. Now, I know that you have a couple of secrets, Jill, that you want to share that if someone's listening, because this show provides very practical, tangible, easy to digest tips and techniques, we'll say that. And I know that you have a few secrets that every single leader can put into effect to help create a vision that everyone in their organization embraces. So if you can share that with us, what those top three secrets are, that would be great.
Sure, absolutely. So first of all, and I kind of touched on this a little bit, you have to actually have a vision. I guess that's probably number one, is you have to have a vision. Vision is so important today. Vision is the destination of where an organization is going. It's different from mission, because mission describes how you're going to get there. But vision is what's going to paint the picture for yourself, for your clients, and for your team of where it is that you're going. So vision has a couple of different pieces to it, in that you have short-term vision and you have long-term vision. Where do we want to be a year from now? And where do we want to be 10 years from now? And it's really important that companies talk about both, because the short-term vision, that's the baby step. That's the next step. That it should be very much connected and tied into the long-term vision. But long-term vision is just as important, because if you don't have long-term vision, then 10 years from now, you're not going to be in existence, because you're not going to have been strategically planning on what you want to look like in 10 years. So first of all, have the vision. To get everybody to buy into it, you do two kinds of communication. First of all, do a SWOT analysis. Allow for everybody on your team to have a voice into what is happening. And so ask them, what are the strengths of our company? What are our weaknesses? What are our opportunities? What are our threats? You can do that either to where they're letting you know who they are, or you can do it anonymously. And that gives your people an opportunity to feel like they have a voice, that they have a voice in what's being said. That's critical to creating a vision that everybody embraces, is allowing them to feel that ownership, that like, wow, I was a part of all of this. And when you do a SWOT analysis, when you have people telling you things and you give them the freedom to speak, you're going to learn things. So back in 2000, my husband and I, we started a church, and we were in a community that we knew nothing about. And this was right at the time where Rick Warren had just put out Purpose Driven Church, and then he put out Purpose Driven Life. And for us as pastors, that was revolutionary. It was when the leadership was really coming into churches and pastors. So he had people do this survey. That's how he started his church, is he went around to his community and did a survey. When we went to this community, we met with the pastors and we asked them these four questions. And then we asked the community. And I tell you that, Tiana, the answers between the pastors and the community were night and day.
Oh, wow.
Like the first question was, what is the biggest need in our community? Well, what the pastor said and what the community said, night and day difference. And so that's getting back to companies. You might think that you know what the biggest need is, or you might think that you know things, but a really solid leader recognizes that they're not always the smartest person in the room and that they don't know everything.
And if you ask, be ready to listen.
Yeah.
Because some people will ask the question and then get all bent out of shape. And when they get the responses, it's like, well, you have to take a step back and you have to listen. And so when you ask the question, really prepare yourself to just put on that listening hat and hear from a different perspective. So you said communication is key. So you said SWOT analysis first, Jill. And then the second type of communication
is communicating to the people the vision. Once you have that vision, communicate it to them over and over and over again. Keep that in front of them, that this is our why. You know, Simon Sinek wrote that book about Know Your Why. The vision is what leaders use to remind and to motivate their team as to their why. Why are we getting up? Why are we coming in? Why are we investing this time, or why are we investing this money? Communicate, communicate, communicate. And what I encourage my business owners and my clients to remember is this: just about the time that you're getting so sick and tired of talking about the vision is right about the time that your team is going to get it. Because as much as you might foster an ownership mentality, your team is not going to think about this kind of stuff the same way that you do. Even the best team member is still a team member. So you have to repeat it over and over and over again. Show them the vision. Remind them of why you guys are doing what you do. And then the final piece of communication is communicate the connection between who they are, their gifts, their abilities, and how that ties into the fulfilling of the vision for the organization.
So you're helping companies help to make a direct link of how my particular role really does add up to the bottom line of the organization, how what I might do, I might be a frontline entry level associate with an organization, and maybe I can't clearly see the path to how what I do really adds up to the bottom line or to the vision. And so what I hear you saying is that you're telling or helping companies to find that path, to help them communicate that effectively. So when I show up to work as an employee, I'm just not clocking in, waiting for my check, or sitting at my desk like, oh, I'm here, it's just another day at work. But I know that when I have to fill out this report, or I have to attend a meeting, and I have to do this, whatever work it might be, that I know that it directly impacts the success of our organization. And that's not an easy thing to do.
Right.
So with communication, keeping the vision at the forefront, I believe all of these, again, when you talk about communication and asking them, people want to feel heard. They want to feel that they matter. They want to feel like their input, their opinions, and their ideas matter in the companies. And when we put this show together, again, we really like to help individuals think differently, kind of a new approach. Is there something that you would want these individuals listening today to really take away? If they're at the start line and they're like, you know, I really don't know. We're getting ready to go through a really tough time next year in 2020. We're making some really tough changes. Mm-hmm. What would be step one for them? And then I will follow that up with, if they want to work with you, because maybe they hear something and they say, wow, this, she's a person, her company, Link Consulting, is exactly what we're looking for. I want to give you an opportunity to have them reach out to you. But what is that one thing? What is that one step, Jill, that if someone's listening today that they can do? Because sometimes these can be overwhelming. So what would that be?
So step one, if they're getting ready to know that things are going to be changing in their organization, is to already lay the groundwork of letting their team know that things are going to be changing. And it's okay to say that I don't know for sure what those changes are going to be, but start preparing them. Everybody has different personalities, but a majority of America has a specific type of personality to where they don't react super quickly. They need time to be led into a situation or led into a decision, led into what's coming up. And so begin to prepare your team. Even if the organization is getting ready to go through a massive overhaul to where you know that you're going to have to let people go, if you can start talking about it now and saying, look, 2020, it's going to be a year of change. We're working on the plan. We're going to listen to some things that you have to say. We're going to listen to some things that our customers have to say. We're going to work on a plan. It might not have great outcomes. There might be possibilities that people are going to get laid off. I'm not saying this to create an atmosphere of fear, but I'm saying this so that you all know that we're in this together. I'm committed to you as the owner or the manager or whatever your role is in the company. You know, you're telling your team, I'm committed to this. I'm committed to you. And I'm committed to keeping this communication open. But I want you to know that 2020 is going to be a year of change.
People don't want to feel left in the dark. And I think that's what you're saying. So often people aren't privy to certain informations and we keep individuals in the dark. So, well, I can't talk on that right now, or I can't say this. People need, I think, desire, and quite honestly, are owed a level of transparency when their livelihood depends on showing up to work and getting a check and having to take care of their families. And I think what you just said is having a level of transparency, thoughtful transparency with clear communication and saying, hey, and keeping the level, the communication open. So it's not like, okay, I communicated 2 months ago and that was it. It's like there should be constant, frequent communication and incremental steps along the path of whatever the plan is going to be. So I think that is a good starting point, because whether you're a small organization, you're a large organization, you're a nonprofit, you're a for-profit, and we just highlighted just a few things that if your organization is going through, whether a change or you're looking to level up in different areas, or as a leader, you really want to create better engagement. You really want people to feel a sense of ownership, have that ownership mentality, and remove as the leader some of that fear that they're not going to do it your way. But that's okay. If you listen to Jill, you have to release. Release them. I love that. That's going to be my new word for the week. Release them and create an atmosphere of excitement with those individuals. And that employee experience will be far greater than if you hadn't done that at the onset. And so it's never too late. It's not too late. And Jill Valdez at Link Consulting can help. So if people want to work with you, Jill, how would they do that? How do they reach out to you?
So the easiest way for people to reach out, because, you know, times have changed and now it's all about technology and everybody has their phone. They're either listening to this podcast on their phone or their phone is sitting right next to them. So if they take out their phone, they're going to open up their text messaging app and they're going to text the word LINK, LINK. They're going to text it to 31996. And what that's going to get them, they're going to get a message back of, hey, welcome to Link. So glad that you're here. But also, I want to invite and provide for your listeners a free next level strategy session call with me. It's not a high pressure sales call at all. They're going to walk away with an actual plan. But I want to offer that. And so text the word LINK, L-I-N-K, to 31996.
And we will make sure that that is in the show notes so people will have it, not just listening, but it will be printed as well. So that's LINK, L-I-N as in Nancy, K, and you text that to 31996. Did I say that correctly?
Yes.
Yes, yep. 31996, and you're going to get a free next level strategy session where you will walk away with an actual plan. And so please do that. Again, we'll make sure to have it in the show notes. And this is all one part of helping you to be a better boss, a better leader, heading out of 2019, going into 2020, or whenever you listen to this particular show. Thank you, Jill. for being a guest and for imparting some nuggets, some pearls of wisdom. And would love to have you back as a guest on the show. Perhaps another topic we can talk about, because again, if you're looking for an investment in professional development, it is just that. It is an investment. And because you don't want a quick fix, you really want someone who's going to work with you, who's going to be alongside with you, who's going to be help strategizing with you. And Link Consulting could just be that company. So thank you. As always, we'd like to close with this special quote. Everyone wants to succeed, but not everyone is willing to do the work. If you are willing, I will help you do your work. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Like a Real Boss podcast with Tiana Sanchez. We are your ambassador, helping you go from good to great to extraordinary. To learn more about awesome offers, training programs, books, and more, head over to www.nolimittoyoursuccess.com. Until next time.